We're now joined by the winner of the Bojangles Southern 500, Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2 Miller Genuine Draft Ford.
You don't have any Bojangles laying around, do you?
I can go look.
I would eat some fried chicken up here if you had it.
All right, we'll go take a look back there for you.
It's all gone? Are you serious? Man. You ate the sweet potato pie? You got that left? No, I can't eat that. I like the chicken.
Popcorn.
They didn't sponsor the race. They're out of here. Go ahead.
All right. Congratulations, Brad.
Thank you.
We'll go ahead and open it up for questions. Please raise your hand and state your name and affiliation. We'll start right here.
What we got right over here?
Down here.
It's all right.
Sorry. Trying to get a mic over to him.
You got to sponsor the race to get it. You know, I just feel like that's the deal, you know?
Chris Murdoch, Race Chaser Media.
Here.
Brad, with not being able to get a win at Darlington and now being able to sweep a weekend and have Rusty Wallace's throwback on the car today, what does this weekend as a whole meant to you?
Oof. Man, I'm kind of in the moment right now, and I got out of the car just a little dehydrated and had a couple beers, so I'm not sure I got the best answer for that. But I would say it's pretty damn cool. You know, this is such a special racetrack. It always has been, and I think it always will be. And when we added in all this retro stuff a few years ago, it's like a spark that just reignited this track as just being stupid cool. I mean, to win here and to win wearing Rusty's colors and driving his car, it kind of feel like I'm in a dream from when I was 10 years old, you know? It's something that I'll carry forever. It's probably the biggest win of my career, especially with it being a weekend sweep at one of the toughest tracks on the circuit. And today was no different. So I'm just really, really thankful, really, really proud. Thankful of the team effort that it took to win this race. That last pit stop put me in position. And, you know, of course, we had to capitalize on it. But we were in position, and the pit crew nailed it. I got a great launch out of the pit box. And I couldn't have beat Larson by a foot. I haven't seen the pit road cam, but man, that was cool. And I knew if we could get out front, we were really strong on the short runs, not as strong as he was on the long runs, but I knew if we could get out front there with 20 or so to go, that we could drive away. And I was just praying every lap there wouldn't be a caution, you know, and just we were setting sail and just please no caution, please no caution. And it came through for us. Oh, hey, sweet potato pie. See, now I would have guessed, Jim, that this would have been the first thing to be gone, not the last. Oh, you got? I'm not a sweet tea guy. I'm sorry. I ain't that Southern. I still got some Michigan in me.
We'll go right over here to your left.
I'm a lemonade guy. If you got that, Bo.
Go ahead.
Mike Massey with FrontStretch.com. As great as Rusty was, he never won at this track. Mm-hmm. And you kind of had in 2015. You had Kyle Larson's type of night,
yeah,
where you,
yeah,
dominate the whole thing, won the pole, led the whole thing, lost at the very end. So do you think this is kind of retribution for those two things?
I don't know. You could probably throw some karma words out there and whatever it might have you. It makes it sweeter to have lost it like that. And Kyle Larson's going to win this race one day. And when that day comes, he'll think about this one and how this one probably slipped away. Just like the way I've been thinking about for the last few years, the one in 2015. That's how the sport rolls. That's how life rolls. And, you know, you just got to keep pushing forward and make the most of the opportunities and know that the breaks will come your way just as they fell against you previously. So that's part of the perseverance I think it takes to be successful in not only the sport but life in general. So certainly I'm very humbled by our failures. And it makes the taste of victory that much sweeter.
We'll go right here to Brendan, then to Bob, and then down that row.
Brad, congratulations again. You already touched on that final restart. What was going through your head and how close it was? What was going through your head while you're sitting there on pit road, those 10, 15 seconds or so, and then also as you're finally coming off and with how close it was?
Yeah, I was watching Kyle's crew, and I think our pit stop was just it couldn't have been a hair faster. It was just enough. And I got out of the box, and I just hit the perfect launch. And I probably gained, you know, 4 or 5 foot just by executing the launch out of the box. And I got right up beside him. and you know you're looking at him, and then you're looking at your tack and you're you know or whatever that electronic crap is, and you know you're looking at all of it and you're trying to maximize it to be perfect, and you're like, oh, I hope I wasn't speeding. And that was what I was saying. As soon as I got to the line, I'm like, I think I got him by like a half a foot, and you're just waiting. Like, oh, here comes a speeding penalty. Here it comes, here it comes. And the second the spotter, you know, keys the radio for that first time, you, like, cringe. And then he said, okay, 19 to go. You're like, man, you know, that's like waiting for your death sentence. And it didn't come, so I'm thankful for that. But that turn of events was certainly in our favor.
At that point, did you feel like you were going to be able to go on one of those long runs?
Well, it was, you know, 19 or whatever laps there, and I knew we'd be good for that.
We'll go to Bob.
Bob Hockers, ESPN F2. First, what's the difference between going into the playoffs having won a race? Not about playoff points, but what's the difference between going into the playoffs having won versus not?
Well, if you're going to exclude the most important part, that makes it a little hard. Okay. But I would say if we're looking for our number two answer, it's just not having to think about in the last 10, 11 races of the year not winning a race this year. I mean, we won the Clash this year, but y'all don't count that. I do. I got the trophy, but you guys don't. So I knew for the last 11 weeks all I was going to get is questions about how we haven't won this year, and now I don't get that question. And that feels really darn good because I didn't want to have to answer that one. So I've been dodging you, Bob, so I wouldn't have to answer it. But to not have to worry about that and to, you know, kind of keep our winning streak alive for the last few seasons is certainly very special. And with having swept the weekend, you know, the big thing that's been on my mind, at least from a Team Penske sense, is just getting closer to the, you know, the Mark Donohue win mark. It's something that I've, you know, really put a lot of thought into, and it'd be really special to me. And, you know, I think I was four behind entering this weekend, and now I'm two to go, and I really want to hit that mark in my career. That would be huge for myself and for Team Penske to be the all-time wins leader in a team that's had so many great drivers. And so to pull that off, quite honestly, that's one of the first things I think about.
And also, while unlikely, it is possible for Jimmy Johnson to miss the playoffs. He hasn't clinched a spot yet. What's it like for somebody who, I mean, you've been in that spot before, you've won title, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I'm on the bubble. What's it like for somebody like you guys to go through this week not having clinched yet?
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, it really sucks. So I don't think he's going to miss it. But I haven't seen the points either.
He's 19 up on Bowman, so somebody will pop up.
Yeah, that'd be one hell of a Cinderella story, wouldn't it? But, no, I think he'll be fine. But I'm sure he's frustrated. I would be, too. He's got every right to be. And, you know, that team has been the type of team that for so many years – was completely oblivious to the cycle that a lot of us have hit, where you run good and then you're not good for 6 months, and you know that one season comes and you're awful, the next season comes and you're you know on top of the world. And that team for such a long time never went through that cycle, and now they're going through that cycle, and I know exactly what it feels like, and I'll be honest, I think they're actually handling it very well. Because it can be very frustrating.
And we'll continue down that row.
Mike Neff from frontstretch.com. First, how's that sweet potato pie taste? Is it a little sweeter tonight than
really
normal?
It's really cold. It's not chicken. Bojangles got some good chicken, man. I'm telling you. I got stuck with the sweet potato pie here. But
looking at your season from the outside, you know, it may look a little different on the Penske garage side of it. But it has seemed like you guys were pretty strong early and then kind of have taken a dip, but have been steadily marching back towards the winning side of things. Do you feel like you're peaking at the right time as you head into the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I came to this race expecting to run in the 5th to 10th place range. That's been about what we've been on these type of tracks. Something in the combination today clicked. There's a couple of things that the track kind of threw at the field today. That I think maybe caught a lot of us off guard. One of the first being that the groove in 3 and 4 never materialized on the top of the racetrack. And our car was set up to run low in 3 and 4. And we were going to be in trouble if the top became usable, and it never did. So 3 and 4 stayed one groove, and that really came to us. I think it caught a lot of other teams off guard based off of what I saw in practice. And then I would add into that the high tire wear characteristics of this track really is an anomaly for the series. And the only other race we have that's really like this in nature is Atlanta. We ran second there, and Kevin kind of dominated. So with those things in mind, you know, this track is not like what we're going to see in the playoffs. There's no tracks like this in the playoffs. And winning is great, but there's not a lot of carryover here. And we still have a lot to work on and improve to be considered a favorite for the playoffs. And I'm hopeful today is the catalyst to get that work done because it shows that when we do hit it, we're capable of executing at the level needed to bring home trophies.
We'll continue down that row, and then we'll go to Jacob and Dustin.
Christian Coley, the Motorsports News Source. Brad, you picked up the first victory for Team Penske at Darlington in a very long time. What would
43
it mean to
years.
The, what would it mean?
Me. 43. Jim's saying yes.
What would it mean to the organization to pick up a victory next week in Indianapolis, a track that Team Penske's never won at in a Cup Series?
Yeah, well, you know, RP's got a lot of wins there, and I know they mean a lot to him, and he never misses that race. He loves that racetrack. You know, I finished second there last year. Joe Logano finished second a few years prior. And I know it's – I think Rusty might have finished second there once. So he's been so close, and I hope we can push him through. We're going to sure try.
Go to Jacob.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport Magazine. Brad, I got two for you. First, to kind of –
where's Jacob at? I don't see him.
Right here, in the middle.
Hey, Jacob, there you go.
To kind of dovetail from Christian's question, when Walt was in here a little bit ago, he was talking about how special to get back to victory lane for the organization winning at Darlington was. I know for you, obviously, it's your first crown jewel, but equal to that, I felt like when you were talking about it on the front stretch, the paint scheme, to have Rusty to have Rusty in victory lane celebrating with you, what was that like tonight?
Well, not just, you know, Rusty, but I had Rusty's car, and, you know, Rusty's a legend in the sport. He's a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't deny what he's, you know, done for our sport. And it's great to be able to honor him. And the best way to honor him is to make the car run good and to win the race. And that just, of course, is going to make that car even more immortal than it is already. So that's very special. I don't know what we're going to do with this car, but I hope they leave it together and park it somewhere special. It'd be a really cool gift for Rusty and his family if we could do that. So I'm going to have to. If RP's listening, it's a great idea, but I might have had a beer before saying that. you know, Rusty's been very special to the legacy of Team Penske and to the legacy of Miller in motorsports. Mm-hmm. And it's so great and humbling to be able to honor him today and again, put it in victory lane.
To follow up on the win tonight, yesterday, when you won the Xfinity race, you passed Carl Edwards for fourth all-time on that list, and tonight you get your 25th Cup Series victory, first crown jewel win. Are those kind of milestones, are those things that you think about and reflect on as a driver now, or are they things you're going to reflect on more later?
You know, it's tough because the stats are great, but I think you have to be really careful about chasing stats because that can really cloud your vision. It can put unnecessary pressure on yourself and your team. So it's you really want to enjoy those moments when they happen, but you find yourself, or at least I do, trying to resist the temptation of doing so because it can almost ruin the moment, so to speak, and it can also put a lot of pressure when you're close to those moments. So with that in mind, it means a hell of a lot. It'll mean more to me when it means less to others because I'll have a chance to reflect on it. But right now it is special, and, you know, I'm really looking forward to having tomorrow off with Labor Day and hopefully spending some time with my wife and daughter on a boat somewhere and thinking about it and staring off into space because it feels like a dream.
We'll go to Dustin, then up to the press box, and then to Pete and to John in the back.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. How has this year challenged you?
Well, it's been a heck of a year. It's been really frustrating because, you know, we haven't had the speed we've had over the last few seasons. Then the races where I feel like we've had the speed, I feel like I completely screwed them up. I felt like before today that we had the speed to win Daytona and Talladega, and that's probably about it. And I messed both those races up. I made a one bad move in the draft, got cycled back, and then the wreck happened. And then both the Daytonas, I feel like I made the wrong move. One where I just was too nice to someone, and another when I just didn't anticipate somebody else's bad move. So I feel like those were failures on my parts. And so that's really frustrating. And you just never know when you're going to get a winning race car again. And so you hope it's every week. You enter every weekend thinking that. And then you get to the race and it's not there, and you're just, oh, what if I never get another car capable of winning again? Today we had a car capable of winning, and we executed it. We made the most of it. And I'm so thrilled for that, because I know those moments are, they're not a guarantee. And what's so difficult about those moments is, early in my career, 2010, we didn't have cars anywhere close to being able to win. And then 2011 came, at least the second half of the year, and we did have cars capable of winning, and I started to kind of make a name for myself. And then there's almost a point in time where you take that for granted, having a car and a team capable of winning, and then you start to see that slip away. And you think to myself, or think to yourself, oh my God, this could be it, right? I might not ever, you know, get those opportunities again. So, you know, moments like today are just so refreshing. They recharge your batteries so much because the season is such a death march, especially when things aren't going well. And this is a complete battery recharge for myself and for a team that makes going to the racetrack fun, knowing you've won and you can win.
You mentioned Daytona and Talladega, tracks that you had speed for, and could feel like you could win. So at a non-plate track, is this the best chance you had of winning since last year?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, other than those tracks, this is probably the best we've been. We had a good run at Michigan here a few weeks ago, but Harvick was pretty outstanding. I think we ran third at Kentucky, but we were nowhere near Truex. Struggling to remember any other races, but I don't remember being close enough. Thank you.
All right, we'll go up to the press box. Are there any questions up there?
SpencerRacingBoys.com. I asked Joey, and I'll ask you since you're sitting there, but you've seemed really subdued this season. And, you know, clearly if you're not winning, if you're not somebody that they're talking about, you might not seem as relevant as the big three. But you've kind of been under the radar this season. Does a lot of that have to do with performance? And I have a follow-up.
There's no doubt about it, Lee. When you're not fast, life sucks as a race car driver. You're just literally going around beating your head up against the wall, hoping that, like I said, each weekend that it'll show up, that the engineering will show up and the team will show up and that everything will happen and just perfect because you have to, and that you won't screw it up as a driver when they do show up. And those things hadn't clicked until today. So that can really drain your batteries fast, that's for sure.
Secondly, I don't have to tell you that Roger always circles the Brickyard 400 on his calendar because it's the one race that he's kind of missing from his trophy case. How do you guys approach this? I mean, you talk about coming in with confidence, but are you guys strong enough now where you feel like you can compete against the Harvicks and the Truexes and the Kyle Busches of the world?
I don't know, to be honest with you, Lee. I don't know what's going to show up. We unloaded yesterday, or was it 2 days ago, and we practiced in the teams, and I didn't think that we were going to have it today. Dropped the green for the race. Car was good. I knew we had it. I don't know. I wish it was more predictable. We're not in that spot right now where it is. We'd like it to be. But on any given weekend, we're not that consistent. So that's up to us to figure out.
Are there any other questions in the press box?
Yeah, Chris Knight, catchfence.com. Brad, a follow-up to kind of Lee's question. Was today's performance by Team Penske kind of a message to all the other teams in the garage to say, hey, we're still here, don't forget about us, the playoffs are coming?
Yeah, yes and no. You know, like I said, a lot of people view this track as one in its own, but I sure ain't complaining. I know everybody at Team Penske ain't complaining about a 1-2 finish.
All right, we'll go down here to Pete, and then in the back to John.
Pete Iacobelli, Associated Press. Brad, you said yesterday that the win gave you some confidence towards today. Did you call on that at all at different parts of today?
You know, I honestly thought, sitting here yesterday, that I learned a lot that I could apply today. And there was very little that applied today. The cars are so much different. I was really pumped. Like, man, I really took a lot away from yesterday. I'm going to do this in the cup car. I'm going to do that. And shoot, the top in 3 and 4 never came in. And I worked on that super hard with the Xfinity car and got in a good rhythm and routine up there. And, you know, it's like learning a dance. And then you get on the dance floor and never play the song. You know, it's like, damn it. I was ready. And that never happened. Never materialized.
We'll go to John.
John Haverland, ESPN Albuquerque. Your crew chief, Paul, mentioned that the team kind of tried different things on pit road, like choreograph-wise and such. I was wondering if you could maybe elaborate on that a little bit, and is this like something that you guys worked on during the off weekend?
Yeah, I'm not privy to that information, so I couldn't tell you. But I'll take it, whatever it was.
We'll go over to Dominic. And then back to right behind you. Yep. And then to Jerry.
Dominic Ottagon with the Racing Experts. You kind of did touch on it just a little bit ago right there with the Xfinity race, not really applying too much, but was just kind of curious if that extra track time did help you today in any way, shape, or form.
No, it really didn't. I wish I could sit here and say it did, but there wasn't much I took from it.
Jerry?
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net, PRN. Brad, you've been in the position to go for a championship several times. You've won a championship. You're talking about the inconsistencies. How do you get your head right to go into this not knowing whether or not you can bring a good car to the race to actually compete for the title?
You know, I think, the only thing you really do, Jerry, is try to be the best leader you can be. Try to be honest with yourself and with your team. And try to handle it with as much grace as possible. But you can't deny realities. And then, of course, at the end of the day, you got to go to work and you got to find it. That's all easier said than done, for sure, especially with these big race teams. You know, they got 400 or 500 some employees. And, you know, I think it might have been easier to turn the Titanic around than it is to, you know, change a race team on some things, but the reality is that, you know, we have to continue to strive to be better, to be in the conversation come November.
Jacob?
Brad, the chase for 500, there's a chance that next weekend Team Penske could get their 500th win across all series. You talk about wanting, you know, chasing a record like Mark Donohue's, but what would that mean to be the guy to deliver Roger that kind of a milestone?
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm not sure when that is. I don't know what the IndyCar schedule is. Are they racing next weekend? No. 2 weeks, and so Penske is 2 wins behind. So somebody'd have to win either Supercar or what's the other one? Xfinity? Yeah, that'd be cool. I don't know. I haven't really thought that much about it. There's only one IndyCar race, right? Left, right? Yeah. So, kind of the opportunities are dwindling down for those guys to be the ones to get it done. But it looks like we'll have the opportunity between the Australian cars and the Cup cars to do it. And hopefully we can be the one.
Are there any final questions for Brad? All right. Congratulations.
Terrific. Thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the chicken. Really wanted a piece, for the record.